All right, good morning, everybody. All right. Guess where we're not this morning? We're not in Matthew. Yeah. We're deviating, and probably for a while too. We'll take a break from Matthew. We're going to talk about your other favorite subject, tithing. Tithing. What is that? Or just giving. That subject in the Bible. Specifically, really, we're going to talk about biblical, what it meant to tithe and what it means to tithe and all that kind of stuff. So, to start off, there's more in the Bible said about money and finances and giving and that subject than there's really said about heaven, and there's said about hell. And it seems to be, it's so true that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. That's absolutely true. And so we're going to go through the Bible, and I'm going to show you, there's some differences in New Testament giving, in New Testament giving and tithing. So I'm going to show you the purpose of it in the Old Testament and just give you a sort of a topical survey of it through the Bible. We're going to start in Genesis 14. This is the first time this shows up. It's not a law. It's something Abraham does, Genesis 14. It's the first time it shows up, and then the only other reference to this instance about tithing is in Hebrews, in the New Testament. But all other references on tithing are law. They're legal references, or it's a way of for the Israelites to give thanks to God, but we'll get to that. Genesis 14, read this verse, we'll pray, and then we'll talk about this subject here. Genesis 14:17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him in the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. Now, that's Abraham giving a tenth. A tithe is just a tenth. A tenth of everything he had gained in the battle with these kings, and this war with these kings. He brings it to Melchizedek, a tenth of it, and it's a one-time offering. There's no law, there's no requirement to do it, but it's almost an act of acknowledging God in what just happened. It's a way of Abraham acknowledging through his possessions now what's gone on, the thanksgiving and gratefulness that he shows to the Lord through this giving. So he does it one time. It doesn't say he ever does it again. And it's the increase from specifically this battle in Genesis 14. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about this subject. Father, thank you so much for these words and for each soul that's here this morning. There's a lot in the Bible about this subject, and I pray we could just get a handle on it this morning. I pray we make application where we need to make application, and that you'd help us. And so thank you for the teachers in the back. Pray you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And thank you for Betty and all the food she provides and prepares for us on Sunday mornings. That's a blessing. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good news is we're not doing any building program or anything, so we're not trying to like raise money. So this is just sort of a study to go through and to show you some differences from the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's some differences in the tithe and New Testament giving, Old Testament giving. But we'll cover the subject here. So Genesis 14, this is the first time the word means a tenth. And Abraham just gives a tenth of everything he gained as spoils and war. He takes a tenth of it, he brings it to Melchizedek, gives it to Melchizedek, and it's sort of an acknowledgement, really, that the Lord's hand is with Abraham, and Melchizedek, being the priest of the Most High God, is the sort of mediator there and gets the tenth of this spoils. Now, after that, you don't see this show up under the law. I mean, outside of the law, you don't see it show up again. Until Leviticus. Go to Leviticus. And keep in mind, when Abraham does this, there's not really any law or threat if he doesn't do this. He just does it because he has a mind to do it. Leviticus 27. Fast forward a few hundred years here. The Israelites are getting ready to go into the land and take over the promised land. And Leviticus 27, verse 30, lays down, let's see, I'm in Numbers. That's going to be different. Leviticus 27, 30, the Lord's going to lay down some law about this tithe. The Bible says, Leviticus 27, 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So that's just a tenth of everything that is produced in the time frame that they give, the Lord gives, a tenth of it is the Lord's. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy, it shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. All right, so a few things about this that you learn about the tithes. Number one, they're not money. They are food, everything that's produced from the land. And it's seed, it's crops, it's herds, it's these commodities. It's just the production of the land and the cattle and all that kind of thing. And so a tenth of all that belongs to the Lord. He does say, though, if you convert it to money, you got to add 20%. So that's 20%. And it's not, that doesn't make it 30%. That just means 20% of the 10% you've already pulled aside there. You add 20% if you're going to convert it to money. If you convert it to money and take it to the priests, then you got to add a fifth thereof. That's 20%. So a tithe is, it's not money. It could be money, and there's a law for that. It's going to be food for the Levites. I'll show you why. The Israelites, you see in verse 32, they're not allowed to, or verse 33, they're not allowed to pick which cattle. It's basically, you got 10 head of cattle, you count out one for the Lord and for yourself. You got 20 head, you count out two for the Lord, 18 for yourself. And it's just you just count it that way. You pass them to the rod there, but you just count them out. Don't say, well, this guy's not going to last much longer, so give this to the priest. And which is what people end up doing. That's what they end up doing. And so it's just count out nine for yourself and pick one and take one out. You line them up and do that. So that's how you get your 10th one for the priest. And then at the very end in verse 34, this is the law. This is the commandments. And it's what it is for Israel. It's a way to be grateful to God. It's really a thanksgiving sort of a recognition that, you know, the Lord is making Israel productive, and so it's a way to give back to the Lord, although you can't take your cattle up to heaven, so you have to take it somewhere. And so what the Lord's going to say is, Levites, and I'll show you the verses on this, but Levites, you don't have any inheritance, and this is the way you're going to get your inheritance, is the people are going to bring in their cattle, their seed, their fruit, all that kind of stuff, and you're going to be fed by the people's tithes. That's how you're going to eat. So Leviticus, that's the first place it shows up in the law, and you see exactly what it is, and the conversion of money and all that kind of thing. Now look in Numbers chapter 18. Here's another aspect of this. Numbers chapter 18, verse 20. Numbers 18:20. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance." So it's a practical system now. It's the way the Levites have. If you go through here, Levites have no land inheritance. So they have no way of producing crops. They have no way of keeping herds, at least like the way the Israelites do, the rest of the tribes do. So they have no portion of land. Their life is to minister in the tabernacle and to minister the things of God. That's their life. And the Lord sets up this system so that the people, the other tribes, will bring in their tenth, and that will support the Levites. That's how they're going to live. Because like I said, they don't have any land, so they can't grow crops, they can't have herds, they just minister in the tabernacle, and so if no one brings them food, they don't eat. Their whole life is wrapped up in the tabernacle. So Numbers 18 tells you the practical purpose of this, and it's the way that the people would give back to the Lord, and the Lord would just say, I'm giving you, Levites, my portion. My portion is yours. You are my portion, I'm your portion, something like that. So it's a very practical thing. It's almost like, I don't want to say it's a tax system, but it's almost like a tax system where whatever gets produced, you take a tenth out of it, take it to the tabernacle, and that's how you feed the Levites, except it's not like government officials or anything necessarily, although Levites did act like government officials quite a bit. I mean, they were judges and they were supposed to administer the law and things like that. So there's a practical side to this. It's food for the Levites. It's how they live. It's how they survive. Then this, go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 14, 22. The Bible says, "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year." So it's the increase. Whatever's produced above what was produced last year, that's what it is. And I guess if there's a negative production or something, there's nothing to bring, which God will use the land to judge the people over and over again. Verse 23, "Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thine oil, the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest," here it is, "that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always." So just like I mentioned taxes a while ago, just like you might be afraid of the IRS, that this was kind of the idea. Like, you Levites, Israelites, the nation of Israel needs to learn to honor God, and this is one way you're going to do it. And this is a big way they're going to do it. They're going to take some of their production and give it. Verse 24, "And if the way be too long for thee," this is a pretty interesting practical matter, "if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household, and the Levite that is within thy gates. Thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee." That's pretty interesting. He says, all right, if I designate a storehouse, a place that's too far for you to take the animals, what you do is you convert all of your animal, all of your offerings into money so you can carry it. And then you carry that to the place that I've designated, and then you feed the Levite there when you get there with the money. Yeah, let him go grocery shopping. So it's a practical matter. I mean, it's, if you're going to have people bringing, I mean, think about it. If you have a nation of people bringing their cattle on a regular basis, you got to have a place for this. You gotta have people to administer this. You gotta have, and really, honestly, you know what the Levites were? They were butchers. They were butchers. These people, they did all, yeah, absolutely. These people, they were, I think of this verse, it's off topic, but I think of this verse when it says, "The wages of sin is death." Remember that verse, Romans? Man, the Levites knew that. They dealt with death all the time. They were butchers, and I mean, that was part of their job. They killed animals and preserved the meat and all that kind of thing. So practical matter, if the Lord says my house is here and you live 100 miles away from here and it's just too far to round up all the cattle and bring them, well, you sell them. You take the money, you sell the tenth, you take the money, and take the money to the tabernacle, to the Levites, and then offer them the money. That way, there's logistics involved here. So it's almost like a tax. The tithe is to learn to fear the Lord, like we mentioned before. The place may be too far for some people to go, and so maybe it's too far for the cattle, or maybe your food, your fruits and vegetables or things will spoil on the way, and you don't want them to spoil on the way. It's just too far to, you can't keep them in good condition till you get there. So you sell them and then take the money to the place. And then this, in verse, let's see, along with these logistics, here it is, verse 28. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. So it's also for strangers and widows and Levites, but there are some victims, I guess you could say, in society, some actual needy people in society, and their part is part of the tithe. The tithe feeds them as well. And notice it said every 3 years. So here's the calendar, the way it looks. If you have a nation of people bringing this amount of product to a place, they can't all do it in one day. That's gonna be a mess. So what the Lord does is over a 3 year time span, it looks like every tribe has 3 months, and for 3 months that tribe is bringing in their tithes, and then the next 3 months another tribe is bringing in their tithes. So it rotates every 3 years. You bring in your tithes every third year. You, that would come your time to bring in your tithes. So for 3 months, you'd have the tribe of Judah, and they're in and out of the tabernacle, in and out of the tabernacle, bringing in their food, bringing in their seed, bringing in their fruits and vegetables, bringing in their herds, and over 3 months. And then next is the tribe of Benjamin. Over 3 months, they're bringing in all their stuff. And so there's logistics involved. There's ways of handling all this. And the Lord, he understands all that. And so he sets up a calendar for the tribes to bring in all of their tithes and offerings there. Then, so you get the idea. So I'll stop there and say this. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those, what you just read is every verse basically on tithing in the law. That's every verse. That's the description of it. Now, here's some good principles. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38. One of the principles we've covered, it's a way of honoring God. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38. Truly it is where your treasure is, there your heart is. And the Lord only required a tenth from Israelites, who most of them were lost. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38. The priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. The Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers, into the treasure house. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn, of the new wine, of the oil, and unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers. And watch this phrase, and we will not forsake the house of our God. So here's a principle. Aside from honoring God, a tenth is the basic that God required of Israel, and even before the law, Abraham just volunteered. Here's a second principle, is if the house of God isn't supported, put it this way, if you're participating in the ministry, but you aren't contributing to the ministry, you've neglected the house of God. That's the last few words. We will not forsake the house of our God. Well, how would you forsake it? Well, you just stop bringing in the offerings. You stop paying for what's going on. And so if you don't support it, then you've neglected it. Here's a thought. I think if you were sitting in your living room, if you're sitting in your living room and the roof is falling in and there's water coming in the living room and it's you're sitting there and maybe you're watching Netflix or whatever, you're sitting there and people come into the house and wonder, are you ever going to fix the roof? Are you going to fix this? Well, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's not only just a thought, it's reality. You've neglected the house. The house has been neglected. It's been forsaken. It's abandoned. Just like in Nehemiah, he says, if we don't support what's going on in the house of God, just that we've forsaken the house of God. And it's not just support by saying, hey, yeah, we support it. It's support that is substantial support. It's substance. Because you can't feed Levites with love. You can't feed Levites with put a smile on your face. You can't feed Levites with, hey, you're doing a good job. Levites have to eat food. And so that's its substance. And you know it's substance when it comes to giving because you feel it. You feel like, okay, I'm actually taking a piece of me and giving it here. So in Nehemiah, he says, we will not forsake the house of our God. And the context is giving and tithing and offerings there. All right, here's another one. Malachi chapter 3. This is the one that gets preached on a lot. Rob God and things like that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3:8. So this one gets probably preached on in some... If a church is going through a building project or something, this you might hear this verse. We're not going through a building project. Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So it is like a tax. It's expected. It's not like the Lord just makes a suggestion, hey, bring some food when you want to. It's Here's how you do it, here's what you bring, and here's how often you bring it. And then when the Israelites said, we're not going to support the house of God, the Lord says, well, you've robbed me. You have stolen from me now, and that I will require that back. Verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Lord, all through Israel's history, uses the land and the weather and the production of the land as judgment sometimes or as blessings for the nation, and specifically the nation. And when he says the nation, even this whole nation in verse 9, he's not talking about Christianity, he's talking about Israelites, the nation of Israel that has been given a land, all right? So not tithing, just notice here, under the law, not tithing brings a curse. That's something to know. However, in Christ, you're not cursed under Christ. Now, so Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Nehemiah, Malachi. What you just went through is, I think, every single reference to tithing in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, when you get to the New Testament, I want you to think about a couple things. God required a nation of lost people. I mean, they were lost. Most of them were lost. When Jesus Christ came, most of them were lost. Though they had advantages, most of them were lost. And God required of a nation, that at minimum, he said, bring 10% to support the work of God. To lost people. Now, when you get to the New Testament, it's completely, not completely different, but it's almost more expectation because now you're after the cross. Now you're after Jesus Christ has given his entire life. And so now you have people in Acts, for instance, who aren't bringing the production of their land, they're selling their land and then bringing the proceeds into to feed the folks and things like that. Now, that's an unusual circumstance. That doesn't happen for everybody. But I'll show you some New Testament things that are a little bit different. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. A couple things that are different. I guess what I'm getting at is this, with the tithe versus the New Testament giving. The tithe is very basic. It is almost the minimum. I mean, it really is the minimum that Israel was required. The minimum. And these people they don't have the Holy Spirit like you have when the Lord Jesus Christ pours out the Holy Ghost and things like that. This is just a nation that is God's nation. And the tithe is basic. It's basic. And New Testament giving is actually way above what Old Testament giving is. I'll show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Paul gives some instruction to this to the Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So he's gathering offerings first day of the week. So that's a little bit different. And it's not just Levites either. This isn't just for Levites or Levites. There's no tribe associated with this. Let's keep reading. As he prospered him, that's liberality, that's not law, there's no tribe, like I said. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, one of the biggest chapters on giving here. And this is where we'll wrap it up. So there's a difference. I wanted to show you some things in Acts, but I think you'll understand. I mean, we've gone through so many verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. So here's the scenario. No, it's Bible phrasing here. Here's the scenario. Corinthians wanted to give some offerings. And they wanted to do it, and they said they were going to do it a while back, and they hadn't done it yet. And they wanted to support, look like Macedonia or, anyway, they wanted to support another group of Christians. And their zeal to support Christians had stirred up some other Christians. They heard about it and they said, man, we want to help this cause too. We want to support what y'all are supporting. So they had said that, but then they hadn't followed through on it. And so Paul's going to go to tell the church of Corinth and remind them of what they said they were going to do. And he's going to do a few things that are very practical. Verse 5, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. So he's going to go send some folks over there to gather up the offerings to take where it needs to go. And Paul's going to do this with some other men in the ministry so that, first of all, so that they didn't think Paul was stealing from them, because that was one thing the Corinthians might think. So he's going to send some folks to go gather up the offering and take it where it needs to go. Verse 6, because they don't have, you know, PayPal and, you know, Cash App and all that kind of stuff. So someone has to actually physically go gather this up. Verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's just an agricultural principle, but it's also a financial principle. He that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Okay, that's not a tithe. That's as you purpose in your heart, that's what you give. Now, keep in mind, the Lord, who is the same God of the Old Testament as the New, expected his nation, full of really lost people, to give 10% of everything that they produced. So if that's his expectation, I would think there'd be probably, it hasn't changed too much. So he says, but he says, he doesn't. It's not a law. Every man according as he purposed, verse 7, purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So somebody's giving is going to bring about gratitude and thanks whenever it's received. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So it's a very practical matter. When there's a need somewhere, the saints gather together, they support the need. And like in the Old Testament, in like he said in Nehemiah, if you don't support the work of God, you've forsaken the work of God. You've just abandoned it. And again, saying you're doing a good job, that's nice, but that doesn't feed the Levites. That doesn't feed the people doing the work of God. So it's substance, just again, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Substance is something that is tangible. It shows, hey, I really want to make a contribution to this. I really want to be involved, not just in my mouth, just saying, you know, hey, I go to this church, or hey, I'm a part of this tribe or whatever. I want to be involved with my substance, because it takes substance to exist. You have to have substance. And so when Paul's talking about these saints that have needs in verses 12 and 13, or 11, 12, 13, he talks about the administration of this service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, that's the supply. That's how it's supplied. You know what he says over there it's in Ephesians. And he tells, it's Ephesians 4, and he says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his own hand, that he may have to, you know what their next few words are? That he may have to give. that's pretty interesting, that he may have something to give. So there's a principle at work all through really the Old Testament, New Testament. There's a law in the Old Testament about it, with the nation and the Levites having to be fed. And really it's not a legal matter necessarily in the New Testament, but it is still very practical matter, that supporting the work of God with your substance is necessary. It's just necessary. So chapter 9, here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So it produces gratitude. It produces gratitude. I mean, verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. That's an interesting way of putting that. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All right, there's a lot in there. I know we read the whole chapter. The point is, I want to just show you what the tithe is in the Bible. You see what it is. You see what happens in the New Testament. I could show you in Acts where people, again, they sell their land and they just bring the money in and support. Because obviously there was a lot of poor Christians in Jerusalem. They were being persecuted. They were being hunted down. They had to hide. They can't get jobs. I mean, obviously they can't get jobs because they... if you find out they're a Christian, then people won't hire you. So people selling their property, bringing it to support the Christians in Jerusalem, and that's a very practical matter. There are places on earth like that that have, you know, Christians can't, if they find out you're a Christian, you don't have a job anymore, and that happens. That just happened. It hadn't happened here. It may happen here, but it hadn't happened here. Maybe in some circles it has, where a boss just doesn't like Christians or something. And anyhow, it's just a practical matter. So there are some differences. When you get to the New Testament, it's almost more expectation, because you're after the cross of Christ. You're after Jesus Christ has given his whole life, and it's not just 10% in the Old Testament was to feed the Levites, and it was a very practical matter, and it still is a very practical matter. But it ultimately boils down to, when it comes to giving in general, when it comes to what you do with your substance, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And like I said, there's more in the New Testament about giving really than there is about witnessing, than there is about heaven. And the reason is, God's concerned with people's hearts. And the quickest way to your heart is to find out where your treasure is. And if he gets your heart, he gets what he needs from your treasure too. I say what he needs, but you know, you get the idea. The Lord's after your heart. And your money and your substance is very closely tied to your heart. That's where your heart is. And so it's, show you some differences there. And I don't know where we're going to go in Sunday school. I'm going to deviate a little bit from Matthew and do some topical stuff. But this one's really practical. This one's just really practical. And thank God we're not doing any, we're not doing a building project. So this is just for your information, and just for you to consider your own giving habits and giving habits because of your heart. I mean, where your heart is, that tells you what you do with your substance tells you where your heart is. It tells you where your heart is. And so I hope that's helpful. I hope that's helpful. I know it's a lot of information, but you get the idea. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Father, thank you so much for these words. And I pray that you'd help us make the applications that need to be made, and just something we hadn't gone over in a long time, the tithes and the offerings and the giving in general, and we covered a lot of ground, and we could have probably divided this up into a few lessons, but I pray it's been helpful. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for the way you bless us and provide for us. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.